everyone.
Morning.
I'll just pray before we start. But I know Andrew prayed as well, so we appreciate that. Father, I just thank you this morning. Lord, I just thank you that I'm able to stand during your strength alone. And Father, I just ask this morning by your Spirit that you will speak to our hearts, that Lord, this word, Lord, that I will bring as your servant, that Father, that you will use it for your glory. And Father God, that you by your Spirit will minister to each and every one of us as you see for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you could turn to 1 Kings 17, or you could just listen. Oops. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So, firstly, Elijah's name, if you don't know, means Yahweh is my God. And we too, when we're in Christ, have a new name. We can claim Christ's name in us. Amen. And here we read the prophet of God, Elijah, speaking to Ahab, the king of Israel. And we read in the previous chapter that Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. And he began to serve Baal, in other words, false gods, and worship him, and set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he had built in Samaria. And King Ahab was married to Jezebel. She too was a worshipper of Baal, and she was killing off the Lord's prophets. So this is a picture of God's people being caught up in this evil idol worship. And so we start in verse 1 with Elijah telling Ahab there is going to be no dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. In other words, it would not rain until God said so. And one of the gods they worshipped, small god, was a god of the weather. God alone has full authority over everything, amen? Amen. Including the weather, and Elijah proclaims this to Ahab. "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve," no wavering. Elijah wasn't wavering between two opinions. He wasn't sitting on the fence. He spoke right into the situation. "There will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my words." What a proclamation made amidst this idol worship and idolatry. Elijah stood firm on the God of Israel, the only true God. Judgment proclaimed through the prophet of God to God's people. If we turn or listen to Deuteronomy 11, verse 13 and onwards. "So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain and the ground will not yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. The Lord goes on to say, fix these words of mine in your hearts and in your minds. So Elijah sees the idol worship in the land and prays according to the Spirit of God. As we read in James 5:17, Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So in defiance of this idol worship in the land taking place, I believe Elijah prays according to the Spirit of God, as a prophet of God in this way. Elijah is obedient to what God calls him to do. He honors God, the King of Kings, and comes before Ahab, the evil king of Israel, and speaks and tells him there will be no dew and no rain. If we read again verse 1, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. A judgment on God's people. Verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. Elijah didn't have to work it out. God told him he would be provided for. He only needed to trust him. This place where God is sending him to go to was called Kereth or Cherith, a brook at Gilead, which means a place of isolation, a cutting off where Elijah needed to totally depend on God and his resources. He has been obedient to God and announces a great drought. He sees the people's evil ways, and now God tells him to go and hide. We know from Scripture he was a hunted man. Ahab was sending out people to look for him. So God was using Cherith, a place of protection from the enemy, as I believe he can do for us when we go through spiritual attacks in our walk. But this place of isolation was also a place of preparation for Elijah. God can put us in a Cherith place also to learn total dependency upon him. He alone keeps us safe. He alone keeps us breathing. But it may be not until we are found at the Cherith place, a place of isolation in a walk with him, do we truly realize how dependent we are on him. A Cherith place, I believe, is the place of preparation for more fruit bearing for God and his glory. Elijah was taken out of this evil situation and brought to a place of isolation with God for a purpose. Before Elijah was able to stand on Mount Carmel further on, if you read further on for yourselves, and challenge over 850 false prophets, further on in 1 Kings 18, he tells Ahab to summon the people from all over Israel to meet Elijah at Mount Carmel, to bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, and there they meet. And there, the false prophets are defeated. Read the account for yourself in 1 Kings 18. Amazing victory for Elijah and God. In that chapter, but first God took him to Cherith. He would have been taught and prepared by God for this challenge. He would have learned the principles of Cherith, a purpose for this cutting off. And when we look through the Bible, we see different people. Moses was in the desert. Joseph in prison experienced isolation, a Cherith place. Joseph went from prison to the right hand of the ruler of Egypt. That is what a Cherith is. It's a place when God actually removes you for a specific purpose. and the word means cutting off. And sometimes a Cherith experience is there to get more of the world out of us. Maybe some of you today know what this cutting off is like. But be sure that God knows what he's doing for his people. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things work together, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I too have experienced this cutting off, and that's exactly what it's like. It's like a cutting off. When only God has been able to provide a need in a place of isolation. God provided Elijah with water from the brook, and he directed the ravens to bring him bread and meat, God's sovereign will to do as he commands. He chose ravens. Later on, he sent a ministering angel to Elijah. And Elijah was not alone in this Cherith place. Maybe you've been there, or maybe you are there, but you can guarantee that you are not alone because God is with you. And Elijah was not alone too in this Cherith place, and God was with him, and God sent the ravens. God is right with you in this Cherith place that you may have been in or you are in. And God told him to drink from the brook. Verse 4. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. The raven's supply was a miraculous provision. This was not a natural thing for a raven to do, but God directed them. Hallelujah. Elijah was obedient. Verse 5. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Cherith ravine east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. He just stayed there. And sometimes when God puts you in a Cherith position or a place, a cutting off, you've just got to stay there and trust God. John 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. He didn't ask questions, how or why. He just obeyed God. Have you ever been in a place where God tells you to go? I have, and you know you just have to go. It's a compelling. And we respond to God out of relationship. A faith relationship with him. A love relationship with him. Not out of some superstitious fear, as many get caught up in. And that comes from the devil himself. Yes, we are to fear God in a reverent way. But know that God only disciplines those he loves. And how he loves us. Jesus said, 1 John 5:3, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Do you remember Martha, Mary's sister, in the scriptures? She was distracted with so much serving, and she was burdensome. And I've been like that too, you know, burdensome. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet. What an example Mary was. Mary chose what was needed, Jesus says. What was better, Jesus says. She chose the best part, to sit at Jesus' feet. Our service should not be burdensome. Mary had a that can wait attitude, God first. And that's hard to do sometimes. God delights in obedience that comes through faith in him. Obedience comes through loving God. God loves us, and in return, we should love him. God can surely put us in Cherith places. A quote from Oswald Chambers, one step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it. Unless we act on God's word, how can we be fruitful for him? Elijah was obedient. He didn't ask how or why, he just went. He just went, no questions asked. When he went and was obedient, God commanded the ravens to feed him. There was a natural provision from the brook, but the ravens was a totally different way of provision, but no less a provision from God. God can use anything anyone to serve his purpose. Ravens were an unclean bird to the Jews. God can bring a blessing through an unclean vessel because the entire world is his. And this made me think, sometimes maybe we think God uses certain people. Even in church, we may have ideas in our minds how God will meet us. Perhaps through a certain friend, or particularly a Christian or pastor in a situation, we want an answer from God, a spiritual answer. And that's good, and sometimes that happens. But it's God's sovereign will, a provision from God. But God can use who he wants to provide for us. Amen? I've experienced this on a level I never thought I would. God used a raven in my sheriff situation, supernaturally. Thank God for the ravens, but thank God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. God allows these cherith cutting off periods to shape us, to prune us. Maybe we have too much of the world in our lives, and we can be put in a position where we have to be cut off from things that control us. We learn so much in the valley experiences. Praise God, it is because he loves us. Maybe fear can control us, control our thinking. A quote I read in a book somewhere, each of us carries a word in his heart, a no or a yes, and there are times where we can say wisely no to people, and that's fine, to situations, to things, but when the Lord asks us to do what he calls, we by faith can say yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it takes faith in action. And through faith, we always need a yes in our hearts to the Lord. And that takes faith. God can take us to a Cherith place to strengthen and build our faith. To be able to say yes to him. To learn dependency upon him. Storms and the Cherith places have a way of teaching what nothing else can. But God is faithful in the storms. And we know when the disciples were in the boat, Jesus spoke to the storm. Our minds can either be controlled by our feelings or by our faith. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, to test and approve the perfect will of God, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. When we listen to how we feel, it can cause us to become discouraged and down and fearful. Sometimes there is a reason for feeling this way, but God wants us to trust him through the Cherith place and through the storm. Elijah obeyed God and trusted. A quote from a lady called Henrietta Mears was asked at the end of her life as she lay on her deathbed, Miss Mears, if you had it all to do over again, would you do anything differently? She thought for a moment, if I had it all to do over again, I would have trusted Christ more. Amen. When I think of this quote, it makes me think how I have allowed, and still sometimes do, but particularly earlier on in my Christian walk, allowed fear to get in my way for serving God. So much in situations in my life where I should have trusted Jesus more. But I also know that God's timing is perfect. And he also allows the storms and the Cherith places, the cutting off places, so that we can rely, learn to rely on and trust God more. It is for our good. Elijah was provided for in this drought. A Cherith place is a provided place, a prepared place, a personal place, a perfect place. Maybe you have or are experiencing a Cherith place right now. I can look back and recall two Cherith places in my life. One was found to be so hard, but it was needed and it was precious for me. It brought so much more fruit in my life for God's glory. And then more recently, a Cherith place of joy and intimacy with God God prepares us for his work, for his glory. Maybe some of God's people have been in a cherished place through lockdown, no longer relying on social gatherings, meeting people, but taken into the isolated place with God, where we know we're not to forsake the fellowshiping of the saints. But that doesn't always need to be physical. We can encourage one another spiritually in other ways. We can look at the Apostle Paul in prison writing the letters for a good example. Sometimes it can be a text just because we need to share with someone about the Lord and his love for us and our love for him. Someone who will understand our struggle and join in our joys and love for the Lord. There is a special bond for the family of Christ. And Cherith is a place of provision. God provided for Elijah, and he will provide for us. Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Cherith is a place of protection. Elijah was told to hide himself. He spoke to Ahab announcing the drought, so he definitely was not in favour with this evil king. God protected him at Cherith, a divine protection. And we read further on in 1 Kings 18 how he was hunted. But God hid him. And Satan sees this hedge of protection around us. He shall hide me in his pavilion. Psalm 27 verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. The secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. God can hide us and protect us from the attack of the enemy of Satan on our lives, a spiritual attack. And Elijah certainly would have done some spiritual stirring in that land. The rock spoken of in the Bible is Christ our Lord and our Saviour. And if you turn to Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Nothing can take away our foundation in Christ today. Absolutely nothing. If we are in him. What are you building on? Without Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you have no foundation with which to build. But praise God, if you are a child of God through faith in Christ and have received him as your Lord and your Saviour, you're able to stand on the foundation, which is a solid rock, Christ Jesus, today. In our time, we may liken the rain and the rising streams and the winds to this coronavirus season we are experiencing. But when the storm of that experience comes, we can stand firm in our faith and know that God is our protection against it, through it. And our days are numbered by him alone on this earth anyway. We are hid in Christ. Back in, I think it was February 2019, it was just before the first lockdown, I had a very vivid picture, more than a dream really, but as far as I know, I was dreaming. But it was vivid and it was clear, it was a picture. It was a hill locally in my dream, where people were just tumbling and falling, over one another, or just tumbling and falling over and over. and there was one bodily figure in that dream that stood firm. This speaks to me of people with no solid foundation, perishing without Christ. There are many people living around us who have no foundation. Their lives are built upon sand. Like these people in that picture, they have fallen into a lost eternity without Christ. But the one figure standing firm is standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. There's been a question asked of me, or said to me, has this pandemic been brought as a judgment from God? I'm not sure on that, I don't know. But what I do know is that God can use anything for his purpose. Maybe it is a shaking and pulling down of foundations built on other things other than Christ. Worldly foundations, false worship and idols as in Elijah's time. But for the believer, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. To know Christ is everything to the believer. God can use storms, coronavirus just as one example, how many more, to bring us to a cherished place, to learn dependency upon God. One sister said to me a while ago, she's not here today, but she said, God may be calling us to pause. And cherished place is a bit like that, is pause. Ecclesiastes 1:14. I have seen all things that are done under the sun, all of them meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The world without Christ is like that. And we too can chase after temporal things, idols. But at the end of the day, Christ our foundation is what matters, salvation for the soul. When Elijah was commanded to go to Cherith, it was a place provided by God. He didn't ask why or how, he was obedient. He was led by God and God provided for him. When the Israelites were promised the land of Canaan in Numbers 13, we read, Moses sent 12 men to go out and assess the land, to see what the land was like. Were the people strong or weak, few or many? What the land was like for the soil, was it fertile or poor? They went up and said, that the land was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. They brought its fruit, and that's where they should have stopped. Or at least started praising God after it. But they went on, and they, because they had gone into the land, they saw the problem. They saw the problem in their own eyes. They saw the sons of Anak, the giants in the land, the problem. And in fact, it is nothing that is a problem for God. Amen? They were just told to go and not be afraid. Can we remember that today? If you are looking at a problem, a giant, and the enemy is so good at doing that, he magnifies things in our minds. It isn't a problem to Almighty God. And he has hidden us in Christ today, if indeed you have placed your faith in him for salvation. They bring a bad report about the people who live there are powerful and the city's fortified and large. They see the giants in the land. What do we see in our lives? Satan will cause us to fear the problem, and so will our old nature as well. And we don't walk according to the flesh. We walk according to the Spirit of God. But Caleb silencing the people before Moses said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. This was Elijah's sort of faith, Caleb and Joshua's too. Because you see in Deuteronomy 1 verse 19, and the Israelites' request, it was the Israelites' request to send men out first to spy out the land, to bring back a report. It seemed a good thing to Moses too, but God had said for them to take possession of it and not to be afraid and discouraged. We need to trust God in the dark because the light will guide us, Christ being our light. Because of the curiosity as to what the land would be like, and they were allowed to assess it, they focused on the giants. When God asked us to go, he wants us to go trusting and not fearing. We don't need to know how and why, what it will be like. This will save us a lot of anxiety and fear. How many times do we analyse what a situation will be like? Satan will cause us to be concerned about things ourselves, about matters that God is already in full control of. He alone holds our todays and our tomorrows. So we see in Elijah's Cherith situation, he is by the brook and it dries up. And sometime later, verse 7, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. We can experience dried brooks in our lives. But Elijah trusted God and God directed him again. God has a purpose in the dried brook. Be sure of that if we belong to him. First, the God who gives water can withhold water. That is his sovereign right. But God can shut one door and open another for us. For Elijah, it was a poor Gentile widow, a non-Jewish widow. But through the drought, God is faithful. Isaiah 49, verse 16, see, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. In the midst of your dried up brook, you were written in the palm of God's hands. Our ways remain continually before him. Elijah at this dry place remained until God commanded him to go somewhere else, to a widow at Zarephath, a place of refining. God's glory and purpose would be made known through a poor widow who was on her last cup of flour and a little oil for her and her son. And through the obedience of this Gentile woman, their food did not run out. There was constant provision of flour and oil from the Lord, as Elijah had promised. And later we read the woman's son dies, and Elijah cries out to God, and Elijah sees God restoring his son back to life. You can read it for yourself further on in 1 Kings 17. An unlikely provision again. God used a Gentile poor widow coming to the end of her resources. It is not until the end, we come to the end of ourselves, that we find a deeper walk with God. Amen? Amen. I pray God would bless his word. Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I just praise you this morning. Lord, I know that you are God and you are in control of every situation in our lives. And you love us. And Lord, may we follow you. Lord, may we follow you with all our hearts and our souls and our minds. Lord, as Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is your God, a small g, follow him. And that Baal provided nothing. He was useless. Father, I know that idols today provide nothing in people's lives. They are chasing the wind. Father, I just pray that you will just speak to our hearts and that you will move by your spirit and that you will save souls in this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.